Hey, welcome to the B Team Podcast. My name is Justin. Today I am joined by Josh.
Dash Rendar.
Best Milos. EU character ever.
Milos.
Oh. I think he just took a pod racer past us there.
Brent.
Hi.
And special
That's
guest.
That's my state of mind, not me saying hello.
And special guest, my Sarah.
Hello.
Hello.
That's and a weird name, my Sarah.
And today we are discussing the
Brendan Grouse's favorite movie.
Yeah, apparently Brendan's favorite movie that is not his favorite movie. Star Wars from 1977, which youngsters will know as Star Wars, A New Hope.
You said the Brendan's favorite movie. I thought we were doing Last of the Mohegans.
Jesus Christ.
That's a good favorite movie. I'll not say that much.
Sarah was just trying to figure out why you said that. I had to explain the running joke.
Yeah, one of us thought that he was Native American when we first fucking started talking without actually words.
Yeah. And it's never not been funny.
No, I know. Every time I end up on a podcast with him, I keep saying Inuk Chuck, trying to get him to grow like Apache Chief. It hasn't worked yet, but I'm sure one of these days it might.
Yeah, you'll get to it, man. Just keep persevering.
Speaking of cheesy 70s, Star Wars.
Yeah, so, Justin, set the stage. You guys watched a movie that Sarah had never seen?
So,
Seen it.
Okay, yeah, Sarah, hit. If
no,
you
I had seen it when I was, like, a kid, but I think I fell asleep halfway through because I was kind of like, eh. I don't know, it wasn't my vibe when I was a kid.
That sounds about
that's
right.
Exactly that's exactly what like Justin 90% of time.
Yeah, unless there's a big beefy man with a shirt off, Justin ain't staying awake.
Because of my arms, like I like Arnold movies. Yeah,
we tried to talk him into watching like four different 80s movies, and he wouldn't until we said, "Oh, this muscle man with his has his shirt off," and he's like, "Yeah, I'll give it a try." It's like,
because of that.
No way to ask it to work right there.
See, do you see the abuse I get from these guys?
Yeah, that's great.
All right. So, yeah, so we, we were sitting here one day and.
Now, even, okay, without having seen it fully the whole way through since you were a kid, if you ever did, like, how much of it did you know from just like other pop culture stuff? Like, how much, like, references and stuff did you, oh, okay, that's where this came from.
I knew that, like, Darth Vader was Luke's dad, obviously. Cliche. But. What was the other thing I knew? Honestly, I thought that Luke and Leia were hooking up, and then I was like, oh, they're brother and sister. Okay.
Okay, that's
well, to be fair, in the original sequel, they were hooking up, but so that doesn't count. So
yeah, well up until like halfway through the writing of the second and third one, they didn't even know that they were gonna be brother and sister. So
yeah. Anything that George we love George Lucas, but when he says he had a whole planned 9-film trilogy, he's lying.
Yeah.
He had just the first story, which he very much, let's say, stole from Kurosawa, who's his absolute favorite director, and a Japanese old-timey movie called Hidden Fortress, which is pretty much a black-and-white Japanese version of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, like, George Lucas was a big fucking nerd. Like, he loved, like, World War II airplane stuff, so that's where, like, a lot of the X-Wing, like, dogfights in space came from. Like,
oh, yeah, no.
He loved the old, like, ninja black and white movies. He loved, like, 50s serials, which, like, Star Wars, like, Indiana Jones definitely has more of it, but Star Wars has a lot of those, like, elements to it, too, right?
Well, yeah, he loved, like, the original, like, Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, all that stuff.
Basically, he was one of the little rich bastards that had a TV back in the 50s. He took advantage of it.
And he was like a special effects pioneer.
Well, that's where you look at, like, the legacy of Lucas. Like, it's the things they created just to make visuals for, like, not only this movie, like, the Star Wars movies, but, like, every movie that had special effects for about 40 years after this. Like,
the other thing is, Star Wars was basically a complete joke before it was in theaters. And I forget what the movie was, but it was actually sold with another movie that was supposed to be, like, you know, Oscar bait. And they're like, all right, if you want to run this movie, you have to play Star Wars. And all the theaters took a chance on it. And they were like, okay, sure, whatever. There's a whole documentary. It's actually pretty fascinating, called Star Wars Was Saved in the Edit. Because the original rough cut of Star Wars is just abysmal. Like, it's fun to watch and laugh at, but it's not, you know, without the John Williams score. You don't have James Earl Jones doing Darth Vader. You have David Niven in the suit doing it, and he's just, like, not an imposing dude at all. You know, he's like, I want them alive!
David Prowse.
What'd I say?
Niven.
Oh, shit. Wrong one.
No. But, yeah, like, George Lucas has crazy ideas, but, like, he is not good at working with people. So, like, he knows how to hire really talented people to, like, make stuff, and then he's really good at picking out which one looks the best. You know what I mean?
He got Harrison Ford from American Graffiti, and, you know, he was obsessed with Hammer Horror. So that's where Peter Cushing came from. Later, where Christopher Lee came from. And, like, you could put those guys in literally anything, and they would basically direct the movie for you. And that's kind of what happened with Cushing.
Yeah. And, like, Alec Guinness was a fucking well-trained British actor. He knew what he was doing. You really didn't need a director to fucking tell him how to play a character. You know what I mean? Like, So, like, Lucas, again, he hired the right people for the roles. Because, like, even, like, Mark Hamill at the time was kind of just this fresh-faced fucking doe-eyed kid. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't really doing a whole lot of acting so much as, like, he was really just a young kid that didn't know what the fuck was going on. Like, what am I getting into here? Like,
pretty much, yeah.
Right? So, like, it's not that George Lucas told them, like, okay, your character needs to feel this at the moment. He just kind of ran with what they were doing on screen. And, like, again, shooting in England, you've got the benefit of the doubt where, like, most of the people can actually pull off a really bad script on screen. Right?
This is true. So, Justin, I got to ask, what version did you guys watch? The Disney Minus ones or something else?
No, Disney Plus. Because I
the McClunky cut.
Yeah, I didn't bring my DVD over. It's in one of my bins, so I would have had to go find it. And we were just kind of sitting here. And I said, oh, let's watch that tonight. And so we watched the first one, and then she's like, oh, let's watch the next one. So then we ended up watching the trilogy over, like, 2 days off of Disney Plus. And then when I had said that, you know, she had watched that, John was like, oh, let's do a pod series on it. And so then she's like, let's watch the other ones. And so we ended up watching all the prequels, too, which is why she had to quickly do a little search on which one we're talking about today. Because it did kind of confuse her when I had to explain to her that technically this is the first one, but it's...
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the first one, and then all the other episodic shit came after. So to give you a ringing endorsement of how we feel about the sequels, we hadn't watched the original trilogy or the prequels forever, and Sarah was like, you know, I really want to watch Empire, but I don't want to watch the special editions and the Disney Plus. I was like, I got you covered. We have 2007, they put out DVDs with the theatrical editions. So I made sure to get all of those, and my copy just says Star Wars.
Yep.
Yeah, I have the DVD of the theatrical version of this movie. I don't have the theatrical versions on DVD of the other two.
Go look on eBay, because the Star Wars brand is, like, plummeting daily. You can probably get them for $30 now. I got all three for, like, $100 back.
Because I got mine for this one for, like, I don't know, like $45.
Yeah, no, go look. I'm sure it's like $20 for all three of them now. Yeah,
I technically have the VHS tapes, the Last Chance tapes, the THX. ones. I have those, but I don't have like a VCR that's properly.
Well, working. Yeah, I was gonna say you probably don't have a VCR.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Yeah, that's.
I do have a VCR. It just doesn't really work right now because the switch in it, because it's a DVD recorder and a VCR. So the switch in it, every time you try to put a tape in it, it spits it back out and it tries to play a DVD. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of fucked up. But if I can get that fixed, then, you know, I might be able to watch, you know, some tapes or whatever. But
the other one. You have to get a hold of Lightning VCR and DVD repair.
Yeah. Those guys know what they're doing.
You know it.
All right. So let's do a quick, for those of you who have not seen Star Wars, A New Hope, and are listening to this, first of all, why are you doing that? Second of all, here is a plot summary. As the only way I can do it, because unlike John, everybody knows I'm famous. I'm famous for my plots in a nutshell. You got it, Milosh. Goes back to our holiday movie marathon days. So there's a galactic civil war happening between the Empire and the Rebel Alliance.
Between the Empire and Texas.
Pretty much. And so instead of putting National Guard troops at the border with razor wire fences, we have Princess Leia on a ship carrying plans for a Death Star that the Empire has built. And it is their technological masterpiece in the sky. Darth Vader, who is the villain of the movie, is the henchman of the Empire. Right now, we just see him as the main villain, but there is a Emperor who is above him that's not really featured in this one. He tracks down the ship, finds Princess Leia, and holds her captive. Meanwhile, she's able to get the Death Star plans off the ship, and two droids who land on a desert planet called Tatooine, and
which we never see in the Star Wars universe again.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, it's strange.
So they find their way into the hands of Luke Skywalker, who is a farm boy of no significance. And he is trying to get them cleaned up. But one little stubborn droid called R2-D2 is trying to find its former quote-unquote owner, who doesn't remember ever owning a droid, even though he's hung out with them for three movies before this.
And a whole fucking slew of cartoon series.
And so, anyway, so little R2-D2, after some trouble with some local... children in costumes, finds Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's just, how dare you discredit those little people like that? They aren't children at all. They're just dwarfs.
Nah, they had kids in those costumes, right, for the Jawas?
Maybe once you hit the prequels, but no. Anything that was in a costume was... Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was just the Ewoks.
Anything that's small was a little people.
All right, well, I'm sorry to the little people community. And
Billy Barty deserves fucking more credit.
I mean, you should apologize to my boy Wilhelm because you said Vader was the villain.
He is.
Oh, Vader's not even the villain in this. Vader's like an antagonist, but I wouldn't say he's the main villain. That's definitely Tarkin.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Well, Vader might be the fist of the Empire, but Tarkin is definitely the voice of the Emperor in this one. Like,
yeah,
he's the Alan Rickman in Dogma.
He's the armpit.
I want to recut this movie with all like modern day politicians and shit, and yeah, make Biden like a completely inept fucking Tarkin.
That would be hilarious,
right?
CNN.
Yeah. Right.
Wait. We're gonna blow up the planet. The planet is and then we're gonna put a big laser on it.
Corn Pops is a bad dude, and he's on Alderaan.
Does that mean that Ted Cruz would be Han Solo?
I think so. And it definitely means Carrie Lake would be Princess Leia, which is just, wow, that's... This movie could be great.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
We'd make more than Disney does.
Just have Daily Wire do it, and they'll put Brett Cooper and Ben Shapiro all on it.
That's number one rap star in the world, Ben Shapiro, to you.
Yes. He has the number one hip-hop
song. What the fuck is the world coming to, boys and girl? Like...
Hey, Nicki Minaj approved, so.
Well, soon we may have the Death Star hit the planet Earth, so who knows. Anyway. Well,
at this point, fuck, it's if anybody's got it on their bingo card, it's a pretty good guess.
Right.
Anyway, so we are getting back to Star Wars. where was I? Oh, yeah, okay. We found Ben Kenobi. So now Ben Kenobi, who is known as Obi-Wan Kenobi, is a long-since retired Jedi Knight. And he once trained Luke Skywalker's father, who was killed by Darth Vader, and now has given him his lightsaber, so that way Luke can now train in the ways of the Force.
I feel like Reva has to
factor. Or pluck out his eye, whichever happens first.
We will not speak of Reva. We will never speak of Reva. And so then Luke finds out that the Empire has been trying to find the droids that him and his family bought from the Jawas. And so he goes back home, finds out that the Empire...
That his aunt and uncle had barbecue without him.
Yeah.
Fucking his assholes.
Barbecued Owen and Beru, and which is still pretty. I can't believe they still have that on Disney Plus. Like,
Skeleton. I mean, I can't believe they aged 40 years in 15.
Oh, Star Wars! Anyone that's white ages like milk.
That's true.
I told Sarah that you say that every time we talk about Star Wars.
Well, I mean, look at it. Like, literally, Obi-Wan goes from being Ewan McGregor. And like 18 years later, he's Alec Guinness. And it's like, okay, he lived in a desert, sure. But like, then they did it to Luke, Han, and Leia. There's there's fucking so many of them. Like, I'm just waiting until they actually make the announcement that Mace Windu is still alive and he shows up looking like fucking Samuel L. Jackson did in Black Snake Moan. That's all I'm waiting for.
To be fair, Brent, Obi-Wan came out like this year or last year, and he's pretty much the same age that Alec Guinness was. So. Ewan McGregor has just aged incredibly well.
Well, I guess not having to go through World War II probably saves you at least 10 years.
Time.
So yeah, so we've gotten to the point where Luke has decided to go on Obi-Wan's journey to Alderaan. And so they go to Mos Eisley, which is a space bar on Tatooine. And like basically a general area of scum and villainy.
A record hive of scum and villainy.
Yes. And so they end up getting the help of they end up buying the help of Han Solo and Chewbacca and the Millennium Falcon. And this is when they're trying to escape from some stormtroopers who are the henchmen of the Empire. And as they're escaping, they go into hyperspace, and they find out that the Death Star has blown up Alderaan. And we find this out because Tarkin brings Leia up to the deck of the Death Star, and since she will not give up where the plans of the Death Star are or where the Rebel base is, she watches her home planet get blown up into smithereens. Once the Millennium Falcon reaches where the Death Star is, they get caught in a tractor beam, get sucked in. And then the team is trying to find out where the princess is. So they go through some...
And the Falcon is a smuggling ship, so when the Empire picks them up, they have a place to hide in the ship. Like, it's... They're not just sitting there like, hey, waving to the Independence Day.
It's a smuggling ship, so they hide in there when they get searched. And then once the stormtroopers walk out, they get out of their hiding places and go into the Death Star to find the princess. Han and Luke dress up as stormtroopers so that way they can get across security.
And Leia Chewbacca flat out insults someone that's trying to save her. It's like, well, fuck you, you cunt.
Pretty much. I still laugh every time, you know, Han gets on the speaker and, you know, tries it. Oh, everything's fine. It's all fine. You know, and then he just blows up the fucking...
The best part of that is that at the very end, he's like, it's all fine. We're fine now. It's fine. How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost Canadian.
And so, So they end up getting trapped down the alleyway where Leia is being held prisoner, and then they end up going down a garbage chute. And after they finally get C-3PO, which is one of the droids, on the intercom, he's able to shut down the trash compactor that they ended up in, and then they escape from that. And meanwhile, Obi-Wan. And
one of the things that pisses me off the most about the whole, like, oh well, Rey same as Luke Skywalker, like Luke just came out of nowhere and he was good at everything. No, Luke was a whiny bitch that took a long time to learn everything. Like,
this is true.
Like, yep. Everyone in that first movie wanted to slap him every time he opened his fucking mouth, even when he was doing something good. Like,
And so then, meanwhile, Obi-Wan Kenobi is trying to shut down the shields so that the Falcon can escape. And then he also runs into his former apprentice, Darth Vader. And so then, while Luke Skywalker is watching on.
Which this moment is actually important. You can tell that they haven't seen each other since fucking whenever Vader got put in that suit.
That's true.
Thanks to Disney, that is all out the fucking window.
And neither one of them even mentions Reva. I mean,
nope. And this is also
one mad black woman. And last time I checked, that's Tyler Perry. So who's you, Disney? Jesus Christ.
So, and also, I just want to point out that even though people don't like this one because it's not action-packed, this is my favorite lightsaber fight.
It has the most meaning, even though it's the least, like, action-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, anyway, so Darth Vader cuts Obi-Wan in half, and then Obi-Wan disappears into the Force right in front of Luke. And so then he ends up running onto the Falcon as Obi-Wan is yelling for him to run from the great beyond. And then they escape the Death Star to go and reconvene with the rebel troops on Yavin, which is a planet that the rebel base is on.
The fourth moon of Yavin. It's the fourth moon of a gas giant planet. Yeah,
Yavin 4.
Yes.
There was an evil Sith Lord that had like weird fucking ziggurats and like crazy weird fucking ancient society on the planet. It's a big thing in the books that should have been the sequels to the movies.
Yes, I didn't read the books, so I don't know.
Anyway. The books, the old Del Rey books are actually really good.
Yeah.
Some of them.
actually I lied. I did read a couple of books. I did not read that book. But
read the Thrawn trilogy and the Jedi Academy trilogy, and
I have the Thrawn books. I just haven't read them yet.
I mean, they're great, and read Splinter of the Mind's Eye and then be like, this was the original sequel?
Yeah.
And so then so we're on the Forest Moon of Yavin, and the Empire shows up with their Death Star ready to destroy the Rebel Rebellion in one fell swoop. And the Rebels fly out in their X-Wings to try to take down the Death Star.
It's not just X-Wings. There's a lot of Y-Wings, too. And I'm pretty sure, and like, after they started special editioning it, you start to see like A wings and B wings mixed into the background. But yeah, fun trivia fact: there's three ships
that can fly.
There's three like fighters that fly back with the Falcon. It's Luke, Wedge Antilles, who's like the only normal human to actually live through the series, and an expanded universe character in a Y-wing.
Can't forget Porkins.
Oh, Porkins dies, man.
He's... Porkins blowed up.
Yeah. Belly Runner becomes fucking bacon. So does Biggs.
Yeah. Oh, Biggs. His buddy from home. But, yep. So anyway, so they all do their attack runs to try to blow up the Death Star. Pretty much they all fail. Imagine if you've seen Top Gun Maverick. When they're trying to shoot the little opening in like Iran or Korea or wherever they're supposed to be. That's basically what the run is in
we shall Wars. Call that country IKEA.
And so so then Luke Skywalker ends up using the Force and aims the beam in the torpedo right into the exhaust pipe of the Death Star, blowing it up with everybody on in it. And Vader is in his ship and he gets knocked off of course, and he ends up going and, you know, flying to safety because he's in the next one.
And that's a nutshell. I'd hate to see the size of the fucking trees down there, but
right.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be a nutshell. Then we started diverting, and so then I just ended up going on a whole thing.
Well, honestly, if this was John doing the plot, we'd still be on Tatooine.
We'd still be going.
This is true.
And then everybody gets a medal except for Chewie, so they can go fuck themselves.
Oh yeah, but don't worry, Disney made up for that.
Yeah, he had to bang. He gets to bang sweet holiday specials. So, hey. Win-win.
Yeah, that moldy tangerine. Yeah. As Red Letter Media called her, butthole eyes.
Yeah. Sarah's laughing at the cat who's squeaking the toy in the background. Or
that's,
maybe
that's my fucking retarded dog.
Is it your dog? All right. I thought it might have been your dog, but I said it could be the cats too, because you guys
are laughing. Yeah, I thought it was the monkey from Outbreak.
Yeah, no, it's Sally just
Marcel?
Doing some pit bull things.
So yeah, so that there is Star Wars 4, A New Hope from 1977.
And, Star Wars 1, Episode 4, A New Hope. Yeah.
And so so where do we want to start, guys?
Well, it's a classic. Like it's hard to, even not knowing the movie, like if you're going in fresh, you're not really going in fresh, because everything in pop culture has referenced half of the movie. Like, but yeah, like you can't say, I can't say enough about it. Like it's one of the first movies that got me into like sci-fi, like adventures, like weird sword and sandal kind of shit. Right. Like it was the door opener for a lot of fucking nerd shit that ended up being me, right? So like the cast, yeah, you could have got a better cast, but like they were all fine. They all ended up becoming iconic for the roles they played until Disney got their hands on them and killed them mercilessly.
You know what's funny? So obviously you guys know, me and Milos, we do the Trek show with John.
Yeah.
I actually watched Trek before I watched Star Wars. I was watching the last season of Next Generation and then the movie before I even saw these, because they came out on tape in like 95, 96. And so when I got them, I was like, oh, they must be like Star Trek because they have Star in the name. And so then I watched it and I'm like, oh, Picard and Riker are not in this. And so then, but then I watched it and I was like, oh, this is cool. It's like action packed and they're like fighting with like light swords and shit like that.
And then now I just want to see fucking 17-year-old fucking Justin sitting there trying to watch the original series going, where the fuck is Picard?
Well, it wouldn't have been 17-year-old Justin. It was like 5-year-old Justin, but...
I know, I'm teasing you, you fool.
Picard.
Picard.
Picard and Riker. Oh.
Worf.
Worf. Worf. Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Is it a weird tangent? Did anybody see the video of LeVar Burton? He's like part white and almost fucking like mental breakdown on camera.
Yes.
That's fucking hilarious.
Wait, who's wife?
LeVar Burton. I guess he did a DNA test and it turns out that like somewhere back in the fucking past, yeah, one of his great-great-grandfathers was actually a white guy and like he was devastated on camera, like ready to lose his mind because he wasn't full black and it's like,
oh, wow.
And? Like,
well, it was that he was like white and he was a Confederate like slave owner and yeah, actually this month.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Well, that checks out.
But yeah, like
I saw these. My mom got the original VHS trio, like the old classic poster came out, I think 89 or 90. And we had that. I think she still has it probably in her garage. So, you know, we watched probably the whole trilogy in one go because they were like, oh, there's two other movies. I was like, all right, let's watch them. This is cool. You know, I never liked Luke Skywalker. I guess I've come around on him a little bit in the wake of there's a movie you'll get to eventually called The Last Jedi. I'm sure you've heard of. And there's a lot of people that don't like the direction for Luke in that movie. I'm one of them, but like I was never really attached to the character. Han Solo was my guy, and I think they screwed him over just as bad.
Well, yeah, I can remember before Disney actually put... Worse.
Yeah, I can remember in the original sequel trilogy, which we know as the EU or the Expanded Universe, like, it goes much, much differently. And after you see those movies, we can talk about that further, but, you know... The Han and Leia story had a much different ending to it. So, but yeah, no, I thought like this movie on its own was really cool. It's one of those movies where it really not only holds up, but like every time you watch it, you'll pick up on something else. You know, there's so much lore behind it. I mean,
up to a point.
In spite of everything they say about, oh, he had all these things planned out and everything. What interests me the most is the fact that they kept Vader alive. That was not a studio mandate. That was not a reshoot. That was the original plan. Like, he very easily could have been on the Death Star, and then they would have had to have written around it or said something like, well, even though the Death Star blew up, somehow he returned. I mean, like, some stupid shit like that, so.
You mean Captain Phasma to him?
Well, yeah. You know, but like even things like you watch it as a kid and you'll notice Darth Vader. You watch it as an adult, and unless you're Justin, you'll notice Grand Moff Tarkin. You know, the idea that now it works in conjunction with the prequels means that Darth Vader built C-3PO as like a 5-year-old kid, and that's just retarded.
Yeah,
You know, Darth Vader's family has been watching Luke all these years, and Vader doesn't know who they are. Vader doesn't know who Luke is. I mean, like, there's no cohesion, no matter what people write, no matter what shows have come out.
Yeah, there's just some things that, like, the more you tried to connect the prequels to the originals, the more you fuck things up. Like, R2-D2 basically knowing everything in the entire universe, and it's just like, really? He's the only one? Like,
I mean, like, that you could get around and just say it's a God's eye thing, because it's never been confirmed or denied, but the long-running fan theory is the crawls, everything is written by R2-D2.
Yeah, well, he's
a great chronicler.
Now, and it's the Samuel Tarly theory, right? Like,
what I love, and the only person in my entire life who has ever picked up on this is, of course, Brent, because we have the same sick mind. Every time that R2 beeps, he's talking. He's talking at like normal human volume. 3PO can understand him. We get the sense that Luke and other engineer-minded people can understand him. So at the end, when they're giving out the medals and R2 just starts going off, I just picture like an autistic child screeching at the top of his lungs. interrupting their medal ceremony, because that's what's happening, and it's fucking hilarious.
I always kind of pictured it as like him just cursing the shit out of them, like, yeah, you dirty cocksucking motherfuckers, like just going off. Like,
hey, R2-D2 is the dirtiest character in movies. They have to beep everything he says.
It's true.
Yeah, that's
also one way to look at it, I suppose. Just jumping back on the whole my accent.
Yes.
So when we were watching the prequels, I kept saying Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar.
She thought his name was that, but we had the subtitles on, and she goes, "Oh, it's Jar Jar." I said, "Yeah, Jar Jar." And she goes, "No, Jar Jar." I said, "Jar Jar." She goes, "Jar Jar." I said, "Hun," I said, "we're going to go back and forth like this." I said, "It's Jar Jar, and you're going to have to deal with it." I said,
there you go.
And I said, "Oh, no, it's me. It's me, Misa Jar Jar Binks."
You keep saying Jar Jar. She's waiting for fucking Jar Jar Gabor to show up on screen, for fuck's sakes. Like,
Justin kept ruining Yoda for me because he told me that the same guy who did the voice of Cookie Monster does the voice of Yoda, and that's all I could hear.
The great and powerful Frank Oz.
It's Cookie Monster.
Dude, like, it's so hard to tell whether he's like Yoda is Fozzie, Miss Piggy, yeah, Grover, or the Cookie Monster. Like, there's different times where it's like one of all of them, and it's like, oh,
yeah. Use the Force, Kermit.
I ruined it.
Wait until you see the fucking sequel trilogy.
So watching this one before, you know, Empire and Jedi, I mean, like, what were your thoughts? Were you able to really, I'm sure you obviously could, but predict things that would happen in the next movies? You know, did you think that this set those up, or this was more standalone?
I don't know. I guess that's what I don't really get. Like, are they supposed to go together? Are they supposed to stand alone? Like, it seems like, I don't know.
Well, so, like, this one was definitely standalone, and they did a Rush sequel called Splinter of the Mind's Eye, and someone else wrote it, someone else was going to direct it. They were ready to go to film, and this movie just made ridiculous amounts of money. It became, like, the highest grossing movie ever at the time. And they're like, all right, we need, like, a real sequel. We need to bring George Lucas back. We need to get a better writer for him, better director.
Yes, so they hired a pretty well-known female sci-fi writer of the 70s, and she came in and basically wrote Empire with Lawrence Kasdan. So, Lucas, hated Empire. Like, it always seemed like whenever they did anything celebrating the trilogy, he was resentful towards the middle one, and it was because that was the one he had the least involvement in. And I think
his plan for it, where, I mean, it was going to be very final. Like, he wanted to kill Han Solo, and Harrison Ford wanted to be killed off. You know, they were going to do the whole Vader-Luke thing. They didn't have the concept of the Emperor. I think Kasdan or Katz came up with that one. And, you know, like, Empire definitely sets up and leads into Jedi, but this one is easily a complete standalone.
Well, because they never thought this was going to pick up. Lucas was basically just making a tax write-off, low-budget fucking, mid-budget at the time, fucking just sci-fi film. I mean, something different.
He wrote, you can find, like, the original spec script, the original screenplay. Mm-hmm. He basically had a lot of elements from Phantom Menace in this one. It was about Luke Starkiller, mm-hmm. and there was Frog Princess, who looked like a geisha, so there's all these elements just of the prequels, or of Phantom Menace, and, you know, this was basically, like, his passion project. Nobody thought it was going to make money, and it was lightning in a bottle, so they were like, holy shit, we need more of these. Mm-hmm. To his credit, Lucas didn't give a shit about the money in terms of the movie, and didn't really believe in it. What he wanted to do was special effects, and then wanted to sell toys. So when he brokered the contracts, he put everything into the merchandising and toys end, and it was something like the Robert Downey Jr. deal for Avengers, not the Iron Man movies, but like the Avengers movies, where he got like the back end more than anything else, and the front end, and made like hundreds and hundreds of millions. So that's how Lucas made all of his money.
Yes, he was smart enough to keep the merchandising rights, and like movies. Yeah. Like, the studios didn't go out and get you a deal with, like, a Hasbro or So, like, if they had your merchandising rights, unless it was something they thought they could make $1 billion on, like, within the first month, you never got greenlit for a toy line, right? And Lucas knew that, like, the shit that he was making was made for toys. Like,
well, not only that, like, this is before Saturday morning cartoons, which take off in the 80s, and it started with Star Wars, with Jedi, because they did things like Ewoks and droids, and then...
Yes and no, because...
Sell toys to children, cartoons.
Because before fucking Reagan did the deregulated the fucking like you were allowed to sell toys of kids shows. That was what, 83, I think. So that would have been like at the end, like right when they started fucking Ewoks and droids. Like it was the actual movie toys that were selling like hotcakes.
Yeah,
it was the movie toys that were selling like hotcakes, and they were allowed to sell.
What I'm saying is that whole phenomenon launched into what became like syndicated Saturday morning cartoons, mostly out of movies that were like R-rated movies. I mean, you had like fucking Godzilla, you had RoboCop,
Rambo.
I mean, it's a surprise.
Terminator. I remember having a bunch of like Arnold Schwarzenegger toys that you could blow the front off, and it was just a robot Arnold.
There was never a cartoon, though. I wish there was.
That's true, but like they still made toilets of like even movies like that, and it's like, okay, why?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Big question: have you guys seen Spaceballs?
I have, yeah.
Well, I know you. I'm saying Justin. I know Justin has, but like, did you guys watch it together?
No, we have not watched that yet. So I'm trying not to confuse her a whole lot because the whole like 4, 5, 6 thing going back to 1, 2, 3 has used her a little bit, but now she gets it. But so I was just trying to stick to like those movies first, and then I'll go back with like Spaceballs and stuff. Plus, it's not really on anything, so I'd have to like rent it or whatever.
I think it's on HBO Max. We watched it like a month ago. I mean, I know I have it on DVD, but we definitely watched it on something.
Yeah, because I remember
it might even be Paramount Plus.
Oh, that's probably what it was. Yeah,
it's on. It is definitely on something that's like reasonably accessible that I'm sure you have. Like just check the platforms they already got, because it's
And if you guys need our Paramount Plus, just let me know.
No, we both have Paramount Plus, so we're good. No, because I remember when we did the pod for it, I had to rent it because it wasn't on anything at the time, but it's probably
changed. Well, that was like 5 years ago. Yeah,
that was a little while ago now.
It was like a year ago.
Well, as Sarah said, I have no concept of time.
So let's do a little bit of the box office stuff. So originally, the film opened on a Wednesday with 32 theaters and then expanding to 43 screens on Friday. And it made over $2 million in the first 6 days to end Memorial Day weekend.
In 1977, when movie tickets were 40 cents.
Yep. So in 2022 dollars, it would have been $12.3 million.
Yep.
It was the number one film for its first 3 weeks. The movie theaters actually had to do a lot of like maneuvering to try to get this into theaters because there were other movies that people wanted to see. So if you want that movie, you got to take power. So yeah, that was a big thing. So basically, this was back when there were really no blockbuster movies. Was like the biggest movie of all time at the moment. You know, that was
which had only been out for 2 years.
Yeah, and it basically was the birth of the blockbuster film. Let's see. I just lost my place. Oh, so eventually it would earn $220 million during its initial theatrical run, which would have been $1.06 billion in 2022 money. And then...
That would have been a nice down payment on the actual franchise when Disney bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then it earned $410 million in total for the worldwide, for the international box office. And especially in Japan, was its biggest international market, where it grossed $58.4 million.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't think the Asians did Star Wars.
Well,
back then they did.
The Japanese do, not the Chinese, because can't see those.
But, well, not once they put Lando Calrissian in the fuck.
So so it ended up. let's see. Let me find the total. Yep. So adjusted to inflation, it had earned over $2.5 billion worldwide at 2011 prices, which saw it ranked as the third highest grossing film of all time according to Guinness World Records.
Behind
at the North American box office, it ranks second behind Gone with the Wind on the inflation adjusted list.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I didn't say what the other two were.
Well, yeah, once you adjust for inflation, Gone with the Wind has everything beat by like
Gone with the Wind
millions of fucking dollars. Like
Gone with the Wind,
it is something like $425 million on like 2 cent tickets.
Yeah,
and I would be remiss if I didn't say fuck that movie because I don't like it. But
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Well, frankly, my dear, they don't give a damn.
Right?
We'll always have Tara.
That's a story for another pod.
Wait, Justin. Needless. Is that where your love for long movies started?
well, no, because actually I ended up watching the fuck is a movie there? The one that everybody thinks is the greatest of all time.
Godfather?
Citizen Kane?
Citizen Kane, thank you. Citizen Kane. I watched Citizen Kane, Lawrence of Arabia, and Gone with the Wind all in like the same week. And I could not for the life of me figure out why anybody liked any of these movies. They were awful. And
that's back when there was only like 6 movies worldwide.
I know, but like people still nowadays say, "Oh, these are the greatest films of all time." I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here!"
Lawrence of Arabia is good, and I'll fight you on it.
I mean, all of those movies are great.
I couldn't. True. I couldn't really last long with all those movies. So yeah, I mean, maybe that is where my hate for 3-hour-plus movies came from. But
probably,
yeah, I don't know.
Now, when you give us the whole story, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Kind of. Makes sense. But,
yep, and actually, Sarah.
Yes.
Now that you remember the plot of the movie, as she flips me off, where would you rank this in terms of the 6 movies we've watched so far? Because initially you told me it was an 8 out of 10.
For like pretty good score
for all of the original trilogy movies, but you didn't really tell me like where they were. So where would you rank this one?
Like fourth.
Fourth. Okay.
I don't know. Third. It's like
all right.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'd say it's probably my number 2. But, like, it's not far off from my number 1. So, yeah. I don't know. It's a lot like The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring to me, where, like, it's the perfect starting point for a lot of the story that goes from here and, like, then retroactively tells behind here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like,
this is my fourth favorite movie of all
time. Good. It's your what?
Good.
This is my fourth favorite movie of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time. The only 3 ahead of it are Back to the Future, obviously.
Casablanca.
And Indiana Jones.
Yep.
And the Raiders of the Lost.
How is Casablanca in your top 3, but you can't stand Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind, or fucking...
Casablanca is not a long movie.
Casablanca is a fantastic and awesome movie, and the other ones are not.
Well, I mean, subjectively, that means boom, nothing. Roast.
Boom, roasted.
It's Justin.
I'm watching in my car.
Don't bring logic into this, Brent. Okay, do not bring logic into this. I don't think logically. You know this.
Fair enough, but yeah.
Picture the police board with like the strings and the thumbtacks. Like that's your brain. That's your brain. Like all the different like pinpoints.
What's his face from Charlie Day yeah. from fucking
yeah.
Always Sunny. Yeah. Pepe Silva. Pepe Silva. There is no Pepe Silva.
Milos, we didn't get a ton from you. You didn't really chime in much. What's your deal with this one? You like it? You don't like it?
No, I liked it. I think it's one of those, you know, I don't have it or near my top all-time movie, but it's always a fun one to watch, you know? Kind of let you guys know this one. I just try occasional whatever, but actually, as far as
one thing trilogy, I wish
second, yeah.
There's one thing I wish Disney would have done with Rogue One that I think would have changed a part of this movie for the better in a way, like just would have gave a little bit more story to it. Like not Reva, fuck that. But if you would have had like Jyn Erso and Cassian Andor captured on the beach and brought to the Death Star when Luke blows it up at the end of this movie, they'd still be on it and it'd be like, okay, even though we got a victory, there's like kind of a moral loss because we lost two like important rebel fucking people, you know what I mean? Like you could actually like write in some story there that Disney could work with if they were had any kind of fucking want to do anything right in this universe.
Yeah, no, they would never do that.
It would have gave something, just a little bit of a bittersweet moment to that big victory for the rebellion, which would have actually
I absolutely agree, but
I know you do, but yeah,
they would never have had the balls.
No, but for all the things that they've changed from the original trilogy that's been for like so far for the worse, that's one that they could have done very easily within a movie that they already made. And like, I think it would have actually given them something to work with in a story. Like that would give you something to actually give a shit about Andor for. Like,
this is true. That just reminded me though, Justin, you have to show Sarah the Red Letter Media supercut of all the things for nostalgia bait in Rogue One. You don't have to watch Rogue One. You just have to watch that video because it's fucking great.
Yeah, I haven't really shown her a ton of Red Letter Media, but I think she would get a chuckle out of some of it.
I mean, it's only a minute long. It's just the, you know, all the things you can see from Star Wars.
Yeah, like X-Wings, Darth Vader. Yeah, like,
yep.
What's the deal with Darth Vader? Does he not have, like, a face?
He does, but it's all, like,
crispy. Star Revenge of the Sith, right?
Yeah, remember? He
saw his episode.
And then he got the mask put on him.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, he must smell terrible under there, because it's, like, crispy burnt bacon wrapped in leather all the time. Like, it's, ugh.
Your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the world's sweatiest roasted ham, like, all the time. Just gross.
Pretty much.
Spamakin Skywalker.
He's walking trichinosis.
Right.
Well, he's definitely not cured.
Well, I think a lot of people consider him like the greatest movie villain of all time.
Who, Vader?
Yeah, he's boring.
He's not. I don't even see him really as a villain. Like, he's an intimidating looking idea, but like, he's kind of like V for Vendetta.
In total lore, he's totally a fucking villain, but in the movie, he's basically just an enforcer, and then in the other two movies, he's basically just, like, you know, a henchman.
He's a schlubby middle-aged dad who's just like, fucking work, am I right?
Yeah.
Like,
You know what I've been wondering, Milos, is how did Star Wars get started over there? In Croatia.
No,
way it did here. The man in the movie theater pushed play on a projector, and from there it was just a history.
I mean, there are a ton of, you know, Turkish, Croatian, Bulgarian Star Wars ripoff movies on YouTube you can watch. They're incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, they range from incredible to like, what in the fuck am I even watching? But yeah.
I mean, that's like incredible, yeah.
Yeah. But I was just about to say, those are also incredible. No, honestly, I couldn't plan for it. But first, then, like, actually going to the movie theater to watch Star Wars movie would be episode 2, yeah, Clone Wars. The first one.
Oof, the worst the one.
And
the worst one.
Yeah, there was like,
I can't say much. My first one was fucking Phantom Menace, so.
Me too.
Yeah, there you go. And yeah, that like the first I clearly remember. And we were late to my younger that we were forced to take with us. Had to watch the movie. So when we got there, they were already fighting on the landing. So, you know. But
well, I mean, fairness sake, that's basically how the movie starts anyway.
Oh, you're talking about Attack of
the Clones. Oh, yeah. I missed my first
Clone Wars.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. All right, boom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you missed a climb up the hill. Okay, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, don't worry. You would have been just as confused there as everybody else watching. Kid, like.
Yeah. But as far as the, you know, original trilogy concerned, I never, you know, at one point we watched it on VHS, like how it got as big as it. By the time I got a grasp on it, it's already like you know, the one of the better sci-fi stuff out there, basically.
Well, that's just it. Like, it's so hard to try and, like,
it stole from a lot of other stuff. You can't pinpoint where it started.
It's so hard to, like,
you know, it's so hard to, like, talk about nationally, just happened.
Well, it's so hard to talk about this movie the way we do most of these podcasts because, like, this is part of the zeitgeist. Like, it's just there. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I didn't really start with the whole, like, what's your name? Where are you from? How'd you find it? Like, I didn't do all that stuff because I'm like, you know how we found it. You know what I mean? And it's like,
well, yeah, it's Star Wars. It finds you.
Yeah. Like, unless you were, like, there in theaters in 1977, which I don't think any of us in the pod group was there in 1977.
I think Macy's the only one that even has the potential to have been.
Yeah, and
he might even be too young.
I think he'd be too young.
He might have been an infant, so I don't think he would have been there. But yeah, so that's
well, he is a time traveler. He probably sneezed his way back then and fucking caught it that way.
I saw the 96 one in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess technically the special editions would have been my first fucking sitting for Star Wars in a theater. But, yeah. Like, the first one that I was, like, there, new for, would have been Phantom Menace.
I remember Lando being like, what the hell are you doing in this movie?
Yeah,
I remember seeing the Outrider in New Hope just take off in one split second scene, and it was just like, I know what that's from and I fucking love it, and it just that was like, it never came back in any way except for that, like, half-assed use in Rebels.
Yep.
But yeah, that's why I never really saw these in theaters, to be honest with you, because, you know, the tapes had come out, and so it was one of those things. I have them on tape. Like, I was like 6 years old. I was like, I'm not gonna go to the movie theater and see this other version, you know what I mean? Like, I have them on tape right here, so I just watch them all the time, you know? And then eventually the other ones came out, and, you know, for a while there, from basically Attack of the Clones until 2010, I didn't really watch anything Star Wars, because Attack of the Clones, like, pissed me off so much, and I didn't like it. I was like, why do I watch this garbage? And so, So I hadn't seen Revenge of the Sith until I was probably like 20. And then I saw that one. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, a little better than the other two. And then I went back and I started watching, you know, the original movies again. And I was like, oh, my God, these movies are so great. Why did I stop watching this stuff? And then, you know, it's just been like that from there. But like every time they have like the things where like a new one comes out and they do like the big marathon thing, they always have like the original trilogies on at like 4 a.m. or some shit. It's like, you know, I've just never gotten to see any of them in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Which ones do you think are good and which ones do you think are bad? From the 6?
4 and 5. Well, Empire Strikes Back is probably the best one just because it's the best, most competently written. It moves all of the characters in the right ways to the next step of the trilogy, which not every movie in this franchise can say it does.
I mean, Empire's in my top 10 favorite movies of all time, so yeah.
Yeah, Empire, New Hope is like, this one is the next one on the list just because it starts everything off so well. Then Jedi. Then I'm one of like the rare people in the world to think Phantom Menace is probably the least bad of the prequels. Just because
I go with Attack of the Clones.
Really? See, that's my
competent, schlocky kids movie 50s sci-fi adventure with really shitty special effects.
Fair. If that's
I can't do the whole you've tried to explain that whole like 50s sci-fi adventure thing or whatever. I think somebody's
It is very Flash Gordon-y. I get what you're saying.
Obi-Wan doing like basically the Maltese Falcon trying to find Kamino and the whole clone army and the mystery of Diaz and all that.
That part is decent, but it's the rest of the movie that's like hot fucking garbage. You know what I mean? When, you know, like the whole love story part, that's not really a love story. It's just like,
oh my god, genocide, I'm so wet, let's get married. Wait, what? Where'd that come from?
I mean, you know, a lot of people blame Hayden for that. That's Natalie Portman.
Well, it's George, too. Like, he doesn't know George how
to... too, but Natalie Portman, when she doesn't give a shit about the movie
she is terrible. She is totally checked out. And that's...
all three of he goes above and beyond.
Yep.
Well, that's just it. She's checked out. Hayden wasn't a great actor at the time, and George doesn't know how to get emotions out of people. So, like, really not a great... It was a perfect storm for just bad fucking dialogue and scenes, right?
I'm one of those that was not a prequels person. I'm still not. The Clone Wars show and the does a lot game. Of heavy lifting for the prequels.
Yeah, well, it was the same before the Clone Wars show when they were doing the books and stuff. Like...
Yeah,
that really helped flush out a lot of like, who the hell is the Jedi with the penis head or the squid looking fucking guy or like, who are these characters?
Yep.
Like,
I mean, honestly, if the Clone Wars TV show were the sequels, like I probably would love them a lot more than I do.
Because the Clone Wars TV show takes place between Episode 2 and Episode 3.
Yeah. No, I understand that, but I'm saying like if that was like the prequels.
If that would have been more the idea for the prequels.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
well, that's just they hyped up the Clone Wars this big thing in the original trilogy, and then when you get to it, they literally skip over it in the prequels, and it's just like, okay, wait, that what?
I called that shit from the opening crawl. I was like, watch, the next one's gonna be like the Clone Wars are over.
Mm-hmm. But like then they introduced like, okay, they cut off Count Dooku's head, and then they're just like, and then here's General Grievous, this totally new guy. And it's like, who? Like,
yeah, we got robbed of Ventress in favor of fucking Grievous.
Ventress and Dirge, who is a crazy character.
I have trained in your Jedi arts with Count Dooku.
Who's the one?
That was the first from Phantom Menace.
He was a good villain.
Who, Darth Maul?
I think so.
He was a good-looking villain, which, like, George Lucas excels at good-looking villains. It's just having them actually do stuff that he has a problem with.
Yeah, he like, comes back in, like, the cartoon show, and he actually has, like, a way more involved role and storyline.
And
in
the movie, he comes back for revenge on him, and the movie, he's literally just, hey, look how cool this thing looks, and now he's dead. But, like, I gotta say, he's, like, one of the only people in the entire fucking franchise that's ever actually killed someone with a lightsaber.
This is true.
Fucking Liam Neeson's gotta feel fucking, like, super pissed off. Like, really? You killed me off? And then, like, everybody in every movie since Disney's taken over gets stabbed in the gut and lives? Like, what the fuck is this?
Liam Neeson is not a strong, powerful black woman.
Well, I mean,
in a different multiverse, it is.
Yes, I'm sure. You know, you can be Qui-Gon Jinn or you can be Reva. You can't be both.
Well,
what did you get?
Oh, that's what it's called. Okay.
But no, I will say I have come around on Revenge of the Sith.
I'm pretty sure if you were Reva and Qui-Gon Jinn at the same time, you'd just be Cardi B, wouldn't you?
I mean, you're not wrong.
Like,
but yeah, because of Clone Wars, because of all the different cuts of Revenge of the Sith I've seen, I've come around more on that one. So now I would say Phantom Menace is the worst of the prequels.
Now, see, I think all three had the same level of terrible acting and directing, but I can forgive more in Phantom Menace because it's a kid that's in there, and it's like kids are never good actors anyway. Like, the people in episode 2 and 3...
I'm saying just based on story alone.
That's
like,
fair.
Phantom Menace is the one that doesn't make sense. Revenge of the Sith doesn't make sense when it's trying to be cohesive with New Hope, but Phantom Menace just doesn't make sense in its own fucking movie.
Like, well, that's just it. Yeah, you didn't need to start Anakin that young, and you didn't need the Qui-Gon character at all. Like, Obi-Wan could have been on an adventure, ran into a teenage Hayden Christensen, fucking Anakin, and then taken him into the Order, and then worked from there. Like,
absolutely. But, like, even beyond that, like, the whole thing with the blockade and the Trade Federation, it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, and it really doesn't matter for later, other than showing that, yeah, the weird fucking, like, racist Asian stereotype fucking stand-in characters of the Nemoidians work for the Emperor. That's, like, the only thing it shows.
That's the whole separatist thing, but why would there be a separatist Trade Federation in the middle of the Republic, and why would they tolerate that shit? Like, the whole thing with Chancellor Valorum, and then the power shifts to Palpatine, if they had just brought him in Clones, that would have been better, and you didn't need, like, the movie tries to be like a serious C-SPAN political thing, and that's what everybody criticizes it for, but then it also tries to be like a dumb, fun special effects kids movie, and you got all the bullshit with the Gungans, and like none of it.
Yeah,
you know, when Misa come on the screen, and then you see me, Misa come on in.
And then when I was Elmo, I came on kids. Wait, what?
Like, Journey to the Center of the Earth, you know, Battle at the World's Core, all that shit works because once you go inside the Earth and there's, like, dinosaurs and mole people, that's, like, fantasy shit. But, like, they're traveling through the giant fish thing and the frog people, and then, like, 10 minutes later, they're having trade disputes. And it's like, what the fuck am I watching? Why is there a Geisha princess?
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Jedi are these weird fucking, like, diplomat monks, and it's just like, okay, wait, what? Like, why aren't they doing things the Jedi should be doing? And like, yeah, yeah.
And spoiler alert for future episodes, because I'm sure we're going to do the other movies as their own things. Sarah's favorite of the six movies is Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
I mean, that's most people's favorite.
That's a lot of people's, like, especially if, like, you weren't into the original trilogy as a kid before the newest ones. Like, it's got the most action. It's got the most, like, actual, like, hey, these characters have some form of emotion several times through the movie, right? Like, again, well, there's that. But, like, even, like, Natalie Portman and Anakin, like, I mean, yes, the best scene between them is when they both shut the fuck up and they're just looking across the city at each other's temple and apartment. You know what I mean? Like, but like that one, you can actually see emotion from both actors. And it's like, oh, that's what they could have done if they wanted to. Right? Like,
I have the high ground.
Yeah. But, like, I feel bad for Ewan McGregor in the prequels, especially, because, like...
When you look at it, what really does, though, is when you look forward to talk about how no matter how much Lucas pulled it off, the acting and directing, just, like, you couldn't mess it up, but you didn't have the prequels, just because you didn't have those same type of actors to carry Oh, daughter of the wrestler, and it's like, you know,
well, and not just that, but like
on green screen. I mean, they were on location in the 70s.
They were on location, and like Lucas wasn't as much of an egomaniac back then. Like he had people like Spielberg that would pop into the set and be like, "Yeah, maybe you should cut that idea and do this or like try this." You know what I mean? Like he
hadn't done Red Tails yet.
He listened to other people. By the time he got to the prequels, it was like people like Rick McCollum who were like legitimately glorified yes men. Like that's all they did was go, "Yeah, George, that's a great idea, George. Yeah. As long as you're signing my check, I'll say yeah, George." Like he didn't have someone to be like, "Hey, that whole Jar Jar Binks character, maybe want to tone him down when it would have mattered, right?" Like, because you can see when they do their first screening of it, George Lucas realizes, "Oh fuck, this Jar Jar character is a piece of shit," and like, I can't cut anything with him because it's all leads into the next scene. Like,
well, like did you tell Sarah what the original plan for Jar Jar was?
Yeah.
Oh no.
He was going to be a Sith master, and like it was all an act that he was like a retarded Gungan person.
Yeah, when you get to the Darth Plagueis conversation, there was at least at one point rumors that like Jar Jar was actually Sidious's master.
Like George, and he was loved Jar Jar. He was obsessed with Jar Jar. He's like, "Oh, in the first movie, like he's going to be a fun toy for the kids, and then you know Anakin's going to be like this whiny little kid, and like they're all going to grow up with him, like Harry Potter. And then by the third movie, like it's going to be like all dark and serious, and only for the adults."
There's an actual quote from George Lucas where Jar Jar is the key to everything. We just have to figure out.
Yeah, he's like, "We just have to figure out how to get him working,"
and they just never did. Like.
Yeah, people hated Jar Jar so much that like he was basically forced to abandon the character and just kind of put him in the background.
Yeah,
which is why comic relief,
which you need. I think you need it, especially if you want kids to like it. Funny, you know what I mean?
I mean, that was his thought process.
Which is why I told you, because I told her about how in the Mandalorian that what's his face that plays Jar Jar? He ended up getting a reprisal, you know, later on because they did a flashback of like the temple, and he ends up being an actual Jedi that like, you know, is trying to, you know, get out of the way of
Grogu out of the temple when Anakin goes in and ransacks the place in the Jedi Purge.
That's what it was. And so he gets a little bit of a redemption, you know, as like an actual character that people liked, you know, in a scene, you know, but it's not Jar Jar. It's the guy who played Jar Jar.
Yeah. Do you know what other famous puppety character that guy was?
No.
Master Splinter in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Really?
Kevin Clash, yep.
Ah.
Your mind blown, John.
Master Splinter.
Mm-hmm.
I have always wanted to say this. Cowabunga!
Family?
Chewbacca's
your favorite. Call that family?
Chewbacca's your favorite?
My favorite,
but he's
a
character.
Chewbacca's my favorite.
We know.
I know.
I don't know why, but it must be the expanded universe because he's actually a pretty big character once you get into like the books. But like that guy is the only one that didn't have some magical cheat code or just a horseshoe stuck up his ass the entire time. And he's the only one that managed to live through everything, actually get a normal job when the fucking war ended. Like, yeah, Wedge Antilles is my favorite character, the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And then, like, again, Disney bring him back for literally 3 seconds, and they ruined him in that 3 seconds. It's just like, oh, fuck you. Like,
hey, if it wasn't for Chewbacca, Yoda wouldn't have survived Order 66.
Did you just say Chewbacca?
That's what I heard.
Because all I can picture now is Chewie with those two little fucking, like, curls and the big fucking beard. Like,
He threw
Yoda into those tunnels under New York.
So have you watched the holiday special?
Oh.
I have, she hasn't.
Because Chewbacca has a family. Chewbacca has a wife and a son and a drunk grandfather.
A drunk grandfather and a special needs son.
And B. Arthur shows up.
You know the picture that I have as my icon on Letterboxd?
Yeah.
That's Lumpy. That's Chewbacca's son.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, he's special. Literally the first like 18 minutes of the fucking movie is just Wookiees yelling at each other in Wookiee. No subtitles, no nothing. What? Just Wookiees going the whole fucking like 20 minutes.
Like in the late 70s. They were in the height of, like, you know, disco, psychedelic, insane television. They would do all these variety specials, and someone got the great idea to do a Star Wars holiday special that was supposed to be like a Christmas with Star Wars, but they weren't celebrating Christmas, so they came up with a holiday they call Life Day, and there's a song. Carrie Fisher is coked out of her mind. She's even got, like, the one extra long nail. And she sings a song, and her eyes are like pins, and you can see Harrison Ford's spirit die behind her. It's incredible.
You can literally see everyone in the cast at that moment be like, yeah, so who's writing the second movie? Because we're not doing this if this is George's best idea here. Like,
I think he just, like, doesn't know that, like, some thoughts are inside thoughts.
Well, George actually didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, wasn't it?
Well, no, he says he didn't.
He says he didn't, but I mean, as far as writing goes, he didn't. Did not approve. He signed off on licensing it, and that was as far as it went. But he, like, hated it so much that he bought up, like, every copy he could find, and the only way to get it now is on bootleg.
Well, you can get them now through Disney, but yeah, up until the Disney it was rumored that he actually used to go to certain, like, Comic-Cons and, like, Star Wars fucking celebrations and stuff and literally buy as many copies as he could. Like, just wander through the crowd, buy them, go, and, like, just burn them. Like, but, yeah, now they say that he had nothing to do with it. Like, this is a... Sherry, stop! But, like, this is a guy that literally had final say on every decision of, like, what design was going to be used for what thing where. So, like, there's no way he didn't have an idea of what this was turning into. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, official story is, no, George never had any. It's like, yeah, okay. But, like, it's the first appearance of Boba Fett.
He
didn't
bring enough money his way. He won't care. So,
well, yeah, basically. But, like, it's like Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill was, like, in a car crash right after the first one hit the theater. So, like, this, when they filmed it, like, was literally, like, 2 weeks after he got out of the hospital. So he's, like, all weirdly, like, misshapen and plastic surgeried.
Yeah, that's why his face looks all weird. And
they keep trying to hide him with a smoke machine that just does not work. Like, there's either no smoke at all or way too much. So, like, that's pathetic the whole time he's on screen. Han Solo literally, like, murders a stormtrooper by pushing him off a tree.
Okay.
B. Arthur shows up and starts pouring booze straight into some dude's head. Yeah, it's a weird fucking...
We'll eventually watch it. It's on YouTube.
Oh, it's on... Yeah. It's on several places now, so... Shouldn't be hard to find.
Yeah, well, it's not on anything official, but...
It's harder to watch than it is to find.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I think...
did everybody drop out there?
No, I'm back.
Did I lose everybody?
We're good. I think we're wrapping up. Yeah. Any final thoughts on this one?
Nope. I think Brent went out early. I think he had a... something wrong, but yeah, you know, like I said, you know, this is my fourth favorite movie of all time. Obviously, it's my favorite Star Wars movie. I enjoy, you know, from start to end. You know, I don't really like some of the things they did with the Blu-ray versions and the Disney Plus versions, whatever. You know, the story is one complete story in this film, which I enjoy, which is one of the reasons why I don't really like Empire all that much. And then I do like Return of the Jedi a little more than Empire. But I don't know. It's just something about the middle movies that I just don't really get into. You know, start to finish, it's a complete story. It shows the journey of Luke Skywalker from small town farm boy to rescuer of the galaxy, you know, and, you know, Tarkin, Vader, the Empire, they're all great villains. You know, Leia is a badass. Han is a badass. Chewbacca is really the person who saves the galaxy. And, you know, can't do it without R2-D2 either. So, this movie is great. You know, that lightsaber battle between Vader and Obi-Wan is fantastic on multiple layers, you know. And, you know, RIP Ben Kenobi. Yeah, RIP to my boy. But, it's fantastic, and I will watch it all the time.
All right, then.
In my, what is my humble opinion, it's basically, yeah, I mean, it's only standalone Star Wars movie, if you think about it. You can cut out all the other movies, just leave this one, and you get a complete story, and then that's the only movie in the franchise that you can say about. So, the reason why it's so popular still, you know, what, 5 years later? 45? You know?
45, yeah.
50. Yeah, almost 50. 45 years later, it's still less, you know, more popular. So, especially with all the prequels that came out, kind of just made you appreciate this one more. You know? It's, you know, you can find gripes about it, you can find stuff that you don't agree with, but all in all, I think, you know, one of those movies they can put on and watch at any time.
It's a trap.
I mean, I think it's a great movie. It's the classic, you know, hero's journey story. You got your good guys, your bad guys, saving the princess. It would have been better if it had Reva in it. I mean, what happened?
Because Reva.
What happened to Reva?
You guys keep saying it, and I'm like, I don't know who that is.
She's from the Obi-Wan.
You don't show. Want to.
She was like,
no.
She's like this black chick it's that like, somehow show is. By you.
She is a strong and powerful, beautiful black woman, and she is the reason for the Force. She alone can stand up against Darth Vader, Obi-Wan, and survive Order 66 as an 8-year-old girl with a lightsaber wound.
And so,
that's about all I got.
Sarah, what are your closing thoughts on Star Wars? One, episode 4, A New Hope.
I liked it a lot. I didn't even think of that. Like, you can stand alone, but I honestly feel like I have to go back and, like, honestly rewatch them because it's, like, so much that you don't catch the first time around. I mean, the whole series is pretty good. Not what I was really expecting in terms of, like, the plot, but it's good. I like it, and, you know, you can kind of, like you said, watch it over and over again, which I like those kind of movies, so it's good.
It is good.
Okay. You said that so seriously.
It is, in fact, good.
So
it is the greatest movie of all time. 8 out of 10.
What is it out of 7?
I was just about that.
Let's see. It would be 6.75 out of 7.
Wow.
High praise coming from you.
Yeah, well, it is. I will say it again for like the 80th time. It is my fourth favorite movie of all time, so it should have a pretty high score.
Yeah,
true.
7 out of 7 is only there for Back to the Future.
I figured,
which we did pod, and if you want to go back, I believe it was pod number 35, and it has great guest appearances. short guest appearances, and it's fantastic. It's huge. It's fantastic. It's huge.
All right, then. I think we're about to the end of this.
Yeah. Also, Power Rangers, because I didn't say Power Rangers in this episode.
You didn't. This was before the Power Rangers.
I know.
You did.
Now I know, but I usually make a Power Rangers reference in like every pod that we do, and it just didn't fit in this one, so Power Rangers.
There you go.
Honestly, once we jumped into the whole Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I thought you were going to pull Power Rangers out of somewhere. Coming.
You know what Star Wars is missing, though? Star Wars is missing big, giant robots. Like, not, and I don't mean like AT-ATs and shit like that. I mean like Megazords.
I was going to say, like, AT-ATs are big, giant robots, Justin.
No. Like mechas and stuff. Like they should, like, Luke should have, instead of building a lightsaber, he should have built like a big, giant fucking robot thing, and him and Vader should have just had like a big, giant robot fight, like the Megazord and the Dragonzord.
And this is the part where Justin spirals out of control.
Yep.
Yeah.
Morphin time! Mighty Morphin Force Rangers! Although I was heavy into Power Rangers at the time that I had first started watching all this stuff, so definitely a childhood nostalgia kick in the pants. So all right, so we got Josh. And,
I think we're about done.
All right, guys. So let me
wrap this up, Justin. Wrap this up.
Let me find the droid. All right. So until next time, may the force be with you. Always.